Well, I see we've all made it here this morning, surviving the cold and surviving whatever crud is floating around. Wednesday night, I assume, was fun for everybody else. I was in with Roger and Sarah with the bigger kids, so I don't know how much fun everybody else had, but I had plenty of fun. We had almost a full group, didn't we, Roger? Anyway, that's exciting. It's exciting to survive all that and be here together and worship and listen to what God has to tell us this morning in John chapter 4. We're going to be starting in verse 13 today. And I guess maybe this morning, as I kind of think through what we're dealing with. First John 4, yes, 1 John 4. I might have said John if I did, I'm sorry. As we deal with some of this stuff, as we look at what 1 John's about, I think maybe this is also helpful for us, and maybe you've been there at maybe what seems to be, I don't know, a dry season. You ever had those where it just doesn't seem like things are happening too much, or maybe that God's just not using you very much, or it's however it feels. And you know, as Christians, it's, you know, we should long for that connection where we're in continual, for lack of a better word, commune with the Lord. And as we think about our fellowship with Him and how we, sometimes I think maybe, even though we're going through our the courses, maybe, you know, we make sure we read our Bible and we're praying and sometimes it just doesn't seem things are happening, or maybe it's not working quite as well, or it's not as flashy, it's not as emotionally charging. I think this is good for us today to look at this, because John's going to tell us this morning how we know that we're loving. How do we perceive what a mature love is in the Christian? So if you're there in 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 13, it says, "By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testified to the Father that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God, so that we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as He is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because He first loved us. If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from Him: whoever loves God must also love his brother." All right. So this is us perceiving that God's love is perfected in us. And so would you pray with me real quick so we can have God's blessing as we work through this. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for the opportunity to study Your Word and to have a chance to deal with it. And I pray that this morning, as we deal with what Your Word says, that we'll process it in such a way that we'll begin to use it, maybe even immediately. Lord, help us to have this mature love within us. Help us to exercise the love that You give us, the only love that we can give that comes from You. God, I just pray that You would bless our time, give us clarity of thought, and Lord, we especially ask for the leading of Your Spirit, that You'll guide us and direct us, and that You'll teach us how we ought to do these things that You ask of us in Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week, as we discussed what love is, we ended up with a thought in verse 12. It says, no one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God's love abides in us and is perfected in us. And so maybe there's that opportunity where we say, you know, I'm not sure this is all working out. I don't necessarily see myself growing. I mean, even as kids, do you remember, maybe you were one of these kids that my grandma had this chart on her garage wall. It wasn't really a chart. It was this blank space of white paint. She never painted. In fact, it's still there. And she has somewhere around, I want to say 28 grandchildren. And some of them are just little. In fact, one of my aunts just had a baby about a year ago. And so there's a bunch of us all the way from a year old to my oldest cousin is somewhere around 40. So that's a lot of kids. But on this wall, every summer, she would get all the kids eventually to come through her house, and she'd say, oh, I haven't taken your height for a long time, so let's check that. Did anybody have that? Yeah, okay. My grandma did it for us, and she even has some of my uncles and other things on there, and so you can actually see where how kids different kids grow, and she'll put the date when she measured. And there's one summer, I remember going to her house at the beginning of the summer. I only lived like a mile down the road, so I was there a lot more. But at the beginning of the summer, I looked over there, and she took my measurement. At the end of the summer, I was about that much taller, and I was like, holy smokes, that's that much in 3 months. You know, that's a lot. You know, but we were always there trying to stretch and see how we compare to everybody else, and we were always there trying to make sure that we were growing, because sometimes when you're in the middle of it, day by day, it's kind of a hard measure, isn't it? I mean, my kids, even this morning on the way to church, Eli was chatting about how tall everybody was. And we were discussing, you know, Trinity's about 2 feet long, and Shannon's about 3 feet long, and he's about 4 feet long, because he wants to be tall, he wants to get there. And you know, we're always looking for that. And he says, and so the kids were all, you know, guesstimating about how tall they were. And Eli says, I'm 4'1½", because that's what I was the last time I measured. So, well, that was 2 months ago, Eli. You're probably taller than 4'1½". So you might mean I'm like 4'3" now, you know. But that's kind of how it is sometimes in the Christian life. We want things to just happen all the time, right? We want to go from goosebump to goosebump to goosebump. We want to see God working. We want to be on that emotional high. I mean, it's almost like adrenaline junkies for Christians, right? We want to see God working. We want to just feel God all the time. But sometimes we have to look at the evidence and say, do I really know this? Am I really abiding in God? How do I know that I'm maturing? How do I know that God's love is perfected in me? And so he starts out here in the perception of, or perceiving, what this love works out. It says, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. Now maybe your version has a small s and maybe your version has a capital S, okay? It can be translated both ways. It can be viewed as both ways, given us of his Spirit. I want you to think about that. This is how we know that we are abiding in God. Okay, number one, he has given us the Holy Spirit. Because we should be, as Christians, as we grow, we should be producing the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. We should be able to look back in our lives and kind of say, you know what, I wasn't always loving. I haven't always loved like God loves. But I see him working in my life now, and it's getting better. I haven't always been the most joyous person in the world. In fact, my grandpa, as a little kid, was always trying to get me smile because I was just so serious, you know? So I can be that way. I can walk around, and people think I'm angry when I'm just being serious, you know? I haven't always been the most joyous person in the world. But as I look over the past years, or even I should be able to look over the past month and say, you know, is the Spirit working in me? Do I exhibit these fruits more than I did? This is how I know that I'm growing. I don't necessarily have to have the goosebump feeling, okay? Sometimes we rely a little bit too much on that. Feelings are fine. But we must know. Because He has given us of His Spirit. Now think about what He's commanded us to do when we talked about last week. He says we ought to be loving people with the love that God gives, because this is only something the Christian who is in fellowship with Jesus Christ can do. If you're not in fellowship with Jesus Christ, if you're not having that intimate fellowship, you cannot do it. It's impossible. We learned that last week. And so as He talks about this Spirit that He's given us, He's given us that ability. As we are in Him, as we are abiding in Him, as we have this intimate fellowship, we are able to love with the love that God loves with. And remember, it's not the being in love, the warm fuzzies. It's the I am going to love in the way that Jesus did. And namely, Jesus said, look, God sent His only Son, to die on the cross. He sent His only Son into the world that He would be the propitiation for our sin. God loves sacrificially. God loves in that way. And so as best we can, we should emulate, we should seek to love in the way that God Himself loves. And so we perceive that. We perceive that because of the Spirit that He has given us, of His Spirit. And we know, it says, by this we know that we abide in Him and He in us because He gives of our Spirit. In verse 14 it says, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. All right. So, He says, look at this. How do I know that I'm in this fellowship, that I'm loving with the love, that I'm growing and maturing in what Christ is doing with me? He says, because of, number one, His Spirit. Kind of reminds me of Romans chapter 8, the work of the Spirit in our lives. Just by this we know we have the witness of the Spirit in our lives. But also it says here, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. It says we have seen and testify that God has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. You know what the word testify means? What does the word testify mean? To give an account. To give a witness. I mean, in its basic meaning, to testify about Jesus means to what? Proclaim, to talk about Him. My relationship, my fellowship with Jesus should produce a fruit of testifying about Jesus Christ, that He came into this world to save this world. And so I guess one of the first questions you can ask yourself, you know, obviously there's the witness of the Spirit. I can look back to, am I producing the fruits of the Spirit, specifically love? Am I loving like God loves? And am I talking about Jesus? Specifically, which part of Jesus' ministry? His saving ministry. The room gets quiet all of a sudden, doesn't it? Are we talking about Jesus to people? It doesn't say to who or to whom, for you English majors over there, wherever you may be, to whom. What are we talking about him? It doesn't matter whether we're talking about him. I mean, it does matter, but we can talk to other brothers and sisters in Christ. We should be. Agree that? Thanks, Steve. I really need that confirmation this morning. But we should also be, talking with other brothers and sisters in Christ about Jesus is awesome because it encourages us. It reminds us of that sacrifice that Jesus made. It reminds us of that love. It gives us a starting point to come to be able to love other people with the love that God loves with, right? But also we should be talking to who? Whom? You know what? I think I've read somewhere that it's actually outdated to say whom anymore. And so I shouldn't really, but anyway, it's fun, right? Brothers and sisters in Christ, and who else? Lost, prodigal, unbelievers. Why? Because Jesus died for them as well. Am I talking about Jesus? Now, I dare say we could probably just wrap things right up right here and we would have a challenge. Just stop right here. We'll leave half an hour early, 15 minutes early. Stop right here. The challenge is to start talking about Jesus. And if you want a real specific goal, I'm going to talk about Jesus too. Start putting your list together. Because if you don't plan it, it's not going to happen. Is it? Am I right? Yeah, maybe. You might, okay? You might find another Christian out there who's talking about Jesus. And that's when it gets really fun and exciting and you kind of get goosebumps because you find another Christian in a place that you didn't expect them to be in, right? That's kind of fun. But we see certain people every day, right? Yeah. We run into some of the same people day by day by day by day. Whether or not, it might be the person that you buy gas from. It might be the person that you buy groceries from. It might be your coworkers, or you go to the office, or you go to the place where you work. It might be that you just see those people all the time. You run into them, your neighbors. Now, it's probably not the time of the year where you see your neighbors out and about walking and they feel like standing there talking, okay? If your neighbors are out and about walking, they're usually covered up and they don't want to talk to people because they want to walk and stay warm, right? But think about it, though. The people that you have in your sphere of influence, do you talk to them about Jesus? Whether or not they are believers. One of the evidences of a maturing love, one of the evidences of God working in us is that we talk about Jesus. It says so right here. And I've got to get to the right place. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Okay? That word confess. Okay? Whoever confesses. It doesn't say whoever thinks in his heart. Does it? It doesn't say whoever talks to God behind closed doors. When we love with the love that God loves with, there may be no greater testimony to who we're about. There may be nothing else better that we can do to show people we are of God, but they may not know about Jesus Christ if we don't tell them why we do what we do, right? Or we talk to them about the person who has given us this love that we're able to pass that on. We're not preaching necessarily. We're not looking at people and pointing fingers and saying, "You sinner." There are people who do that, okay? I'm not advocating that you do that. But what I am advocating is that you tell them of a loving God who sent his son to be the Savior of the world. You might get laughed at, but probably not, especially if you are loving with the love that God loves with. But it's something that we're called to do. It's something that each Christian is about. If you are truly abiding in Jesus Christ, if you are truly desiring to have that fellowship, it is going to show, it's going to be talked about, it's going to be a discussion, it's going to be a part of your life. Just like whatever it is that you're about. I mean, you might be a gun person, okay? Because this is just on my mind, and I've recently talked to people about, you know, different pistols and different things like this, and my dad was over this weekend, and we chatted about different things, and we like guns, okay? And that's what we talk about. Or we'll talk about the farm, or deer hunting, or if I'm talking to my brother-in-law or my father-in-law, we'll talk about golf. Okay, that's just what we talk about because we like that. And if you're around me long enough, I talk about who? Oh, come on. Come on, guys. Iowa. And we beat Michigan State for the second time in a row. Yeah. In basketball. Okay. But you know me for those types of things, right? But we want to be known also as Christians for talking about Jesus, for confessing Jesus, for testifying what he's done, how he works in our life. And then what's cool here is John kind of gives this summation. He says in verse 16, "So we have come to know and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God and God in him." So, he says, so, in summation here, so, what we're saying is, all right, if we, what? We know, we have come to know and to believe that love, the love that God has for us. So, number one, we know that God loves us, okay, and this is the agape love, the sacrificial type of love, the love that only God can love with. Right? I know this. We believe this. We see it in our lives. Why? It says, because we know that God is love, and whoever abides in this love abides in God, and God abides in him. What does it mean to abide? It's part of your life. So imagine your life is a cup here. All right? Imagine your life. Okay, so those of you who are coffee drinkers, you have your cup. You have your special cup. Does anybody have their special cup? All right, there we go. Okay, I know. I got a few people who got their special cup. You got your cup. Imagine your life is that cup. Okay? And God is pouring his love into that life. God's love is not contained by a single life. If you are abiding in that love, if you are there opening up and you are having God's love fill you, it's going to spill over. So how do I know that I am maturing, that I'm growing in this love? Because it's spilling over into the rest of my life. Right? Then he goes on to say this. By this love is perfected in us, okay, so I know this is happening, but now we're talking about the maturation. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because he is also, as we are in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. All right. So this is a little weird. We see the love is perfected in us in this way. That we may have confidence in the day of judgment. All right, John, why are you bringing judgment into this? I think John brings judgment into this equation because we know about judgment. We know about God's judgment. We know that God is a judge, right? He says God is love here, but he also says God is a judge. So it's all God. John is bringing up this idea that one day we're all going to sit before him, and he is going to judge us and our lives, right? And as you think of judgment and having your life laid open, laid bare before God, as he goes over it with you, does that bring peace or does that bring fear? Why does it bring fear? You know, I've talked with many Christians over the years, and one of the subjects I think that comes up most is missed opportunities. I'm not here this morning to help you beat yourself up about missed opportunities. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about fear. Because missed opportunities in my life creates fear. Why? Because I know that I'm supposed to talk about Jesus. I know that one day I'm going to be judged. I'm going to receive reward for the things that I do for God. I'm going to suffer loss because I'm going to see those rewards, not given because I didn't do what I was supposed to do. I didn't let God's love come through me. I wasn't in fellowship with God. I wasn't testifying to that fellowship that I know I can have with Jesus. I wasn't testifying to what he's done. And so missed opportunities for us are often a real fear. You know, God, there was that one person, and I knew it. I had the thought, I had the feeling even, that you were leading me to talk to them about Jesus, but I was scared and I didn't. You've all been there, right? Yeah? Can most, here, we got one brave soul. Raise his hand here in the front row. Okay? You've all been there. But we know that love is perfected. We're maturing in the process. When we, and I don't want to say we develop a no-fear attitude toward judgment. We're no longer scared about when God is going to open up our lives in front of us and we're going to have a chat. Because love casts out fear, right? That's what he says here. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. You're scared of meeting Jesus? Some people truly are. Some Christians truly are scared of meeting Jesus. They know him. They know him to be a father. But they're scared because they've let so much go by. They're scared because they haven't always acted in the manner that Christians are supposed to act. Those who are in fellowship with God. So the point is not to beat yourself up about missed opportunities. The point is to look at those and say, you know what? I want to have fellowship with Christ. I want to be intimate with Jesus. And so therefore, I'm going to talk about him. Therefore, I'm going to talk about him to believers, people I know that know Jesus Christ. Therefore, I know I'm going to talk about him to those who are lost. I have a sphere of influence, and I'm going to start planning to talk about him. Who cares if it comes up naturally in a conversation? I used to think that that's what it needed to happen, and I still prefer it that way because it's easy, right? But we need to talk about Jesus and what he did. And so we want to start now, commit now to talking about that. So we don't have fear. So that we have confidence in the day of judgment. We know that God's love is perfected or it's matured in us as we develop confidence in exercising that love and testify. The reason that we love others, the reason that we talked about Jesus, we love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar, for he does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this is the commandment that we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. And so John kind of takes this, I don't want to necessarily call it a side road here, but he talks about how we love. He says, we love because he first loved us. We can love with a love that God loves with because we have fellowship with him. Because we're intimately getting closer with him. And we have that ability because he's already given it. He loved us first, and so therefore we love. That's what we do. And John here, maybe he's dealing with a church situation. Maybe he has a specific situation in mind. But he just says, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. The two things are incompatible. If you're loving with the love that God loves with, and at the same time, or you say you do, and at the same time you hate your brother, okay, and I say this is brother in Christ, guess what? You're a liar. That means you are not in intimate fellowship with God. So it really looks at how we as a church, as a family, treat each other. He says, how can a person who does not love his brother whom he has seen love a God who he has not seen? It just doesn't work out. And so this is the commandment that we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. And so therefore, love works out itself. It's perfected. It's matured in the Christian life this way. Number one, that we testify to it. Number two, it looks like confidence. But number three, it also shows in the way that we treat each other. It also shows in the way that we interact within the church family. And so, I hope this morning, as you read through this stuff, that you think, you know, where is it that God wants me to move next? Because that's what maturity is about, right? Moving on. Keep taking the next step forward. You know, if I'm going to be in fellowship, have that intimate fellowship with Jesus Christ, where do I need to move next? Who do I need to talk to? What actions do I need to take to show the love that God has given me? And is there somebody in the family here with us that needs us to show that love? Can you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for your Son who died on the cross for us. We thank you so much for the love that you gave in sending him. And God, as we consider, as we ponder what that love is, as we think about what it means for us, I pray that it just starts spilling over in our life. I ask that you would loose our tongues from fear, from doubt, to just start confessing and talking about you. And in doing so, God, I just ask that you would help us to have that confidence. Help us to know about our fellowship in you. And Lord, as it relates to our brothers in Christ, I pray that we have nothing but love. I pray that you'll work on our hearts in that. I pray that you'll help us to look ahead this week as we consider your word, and that you'll move us forward in these things. In Jesus' name, amen.